Today's shiur is Masechta Bamitzia Daf Mem Vav. We will begin on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, the third wide line. In the previous shiur, we had discussed the issue of Matbeya Nasa Chalipin. We know one of the ways that a kinyan is affected is through Chalipin, where we'll discuss Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shiur, either Machlokes Rav and Levi, either the buyer or the seller give a symbolic item to the other party, a pen, a yarmulke, whatever. And the question was, could a coin be used to affect that kinyan? And we discussed that that too was a shaila, machloikis, Rav and Levi. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, afilu mandama emat be'enas chalipin. Even according to the opinion that we cannot use a coin to affect the kinyan chalipin, m'evet hu d'lo evet chalipin. A coin cannot be used to affect a chalipin. However, a knuya mikne beka chalipin. If you want to buy coins, you could use kinyan chalipin like you could use any other type of kinyan to buy coins. And his raya is midah to have a pale Rav Nachman. The same way Rav Nachman treats peiros. Pale Rav Nachman, when we talk about fruit, lav afgav the inu le avdi chalipin. Rav Nachman will teach us later in our shiur that fruit cannot be the vehicle through which to affect a kinyan chalipin. A knuya matna b'chalipin. You could buy fruit like you could buy anything else with chalipin. Similarly, says the Gemara, tivinami loishna. The same goes for coins. They may not be able to be the means to affect the kinyan chalipin, but you could buy coins with chalipin. Ask the Gemara, may say, there's a Mishnah in Ma'aseh Sheni, Masechta Ma'aseh Sheni. Just to review a din that the Torah teaches us. We just discussed as recently as yesterday. If somebody has Ma'aseh Sheni produce, he can redeem that Ma'aseh Sheni produce, not to have to take up the produce itself to Yerushalayim, but just to take up the money. But the Torah differentiates between when it's the owner of the produce who's redeeming it versus someone else. The Torah says that the owner has to add a chaymish, which actually in our math would be 25%, which could be quite significant. So the Mishnah Masechta Ma'aseh Sheni discusses how could one avoid paying that chaymish. If there's somebody is in the silo where he has the produce, vein b'yadamos, and he doesn't have money. Because if he had money and he had the produce, what he could do is very simply, he could give the money to the other person, his friend, who he trusts, the Rishonim explain, and let him do the redemption, and he saves the fifth. But he doesn't have any money with him. So what he does is he tells his friend, I'm giving you these peiros as a gift. That's number one step. The Chaz Weimer, and then he says, so now, let's say it started off as my fruit. It's not my fruit anymore. I gave it to you as a gift. And now I could say the money that I have at home, I'm using it to redeem this produce with. Do you Rishonim ask, there's a Machlokes Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, who is the owner of the Ma'aseh Sheni? Is it Mamon Gevaya or Mamon Hedyot? Does it belong, so to speak, to Hashem, or does it belong to us? So if we say it's Mamon Hedyot, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, we can understand the Mishnah. Because I'm able to give that Ma'aseh Sheni, as the Mishnah tells us, to someone else. But if we follow the opinion of Rameya, that's Mamon Gevaya, it's not mine to give as a gift. So how do we understand this Mishnah? So some Rishonim actually say that this is a proof that this Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Others say, even according to Rameya, at what point does it become Mamon Gevaya? After I have a pile of produce, and I separate the Ma'aseh Sheni, that Ma'aseh Sheni is Mamon Gevaya, I'm not able to give it away. But here we're talking before it was actually separated out, even Rameya will agree that at that point it's not yet Mamon Gevaya, and I could give it as a gift. So, continues the Gemara. Tama, what's the issue here? That I don't have money that I could just give the fruit to my friend and be parted. Hamresh biyadamars, if I had money with me, lichmilele idach b'mashicha, and let me just give the money to my friend, uparik, and like that he will redeem it. Says the Gemara, why is that a better option than the option that the Mishnah offers? In other words, we have two options. One option is to give, that the Mishnah says, to give the payers to him, and the other option is to give the money to him. Ask the Gemara, if he had money, certainly it would be better to give him the money than the payers. Why? The Hachi Adif, says the Gemara, that's certainly a better option if it could be accomplished. The Havlei Nachri. And the Mefarshim give two explanations. When I give someone else the payers, and now he's going to be the one to be paid to them, and like that, we're avoiding the problem. I'm going to be the one to be paid them because it's not mine anymore. It's much more of a subterfuge. It's much more of a harama than if I give him money to be paid to the payers that are by me. Why? Because he never really got the payers. It's much better, says the Ritva, that if he never got the payers than if he did get the payers. That's how the Ritva explains. The Chazon Ish explains differently. Chazon Ish explains as follows. If we're going through this whole charade, I give him the payers, then I'm paid it on the money, and I'm no longer the owner. I'm paid it on the money I have at home, and he gives me back the payers. Somebody observing what's going on here sees that this is a game. I gave away the payers, and I'm getting back the payers. On the other hand, when I'm giving him money, the payers were never transferred, and the payers are what the Maisa Sheni is all about. So that's a much preferable situation. But here we don't have that option because I don't have any money with me. Ask the Gemara, the Amrit, if we're going to suggest that Matbei and Nikna B'Chalipin, that you could do a Kenyan on getting coins with a Chalipin, Niknoi Mars Lahaich Agav Sudar. Why do I have to give him the payers? Let me be Makna to this guy the money. Are you going to ask, I don't have the money with me. Let's do a Kenyan Sudar. Use whatever I have to affect the Kenyan Chalipim. And like that, he'll be the owner of the money. And he could do the pigeon. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't give us that option is a proof that you can't do a Kenyan Chalipim on money. Answers the Gemara, it's not a proof. It's referring to a situation, the Lesley Sudar. Well, I don't have a Sudar with me to affect Chalipim with. So the Rishonim discuss a number of issues. One issue that they say is from here we L'chayra have a raya, some Rishonim suggest, that Chalipim don't need to have Edom. Because if you need to have Edom for Chalipim, so what does the Gemara say? Very simple teretz. There are no Edom. And therefore you can't make Chalipim. There's no one else here that we can do the Chalipim in front of. So it's a proof that we don't need to have Edom for Chalipim, and that's why the Gemara couldn't give that answer. Others, however, the Ravid, is of the opinion that Chalipim do require Edom. So if Chalipim require Edom, why doesn't the Gemara use that example? That here there are no Edom, so I can't do Chalipim. So the simplest answer is because it's hard to say that there are no other people in a Goyren. A Goyren is a very public place. So to Gemara to say that there's no Edom, it's not a teretz that the Gemara wanted to use. That's one pshat I saw. Another pshat that I saw, very interesting pshat, is why indeed does the Ravid require that there should be Edom by Chalipim? And this really speaks to the heart of Kinyonim. What does a Kinyon accomplish? I've said this previously. A Kinyon accomplishes Gemiras Das. They were serious about this deal, and it's being sealed with the Kinyon. What is another proof that I'm serious about the deal? That we do it in front of witnesses. Say to Mefarshim, if you and I are doing a transaction, buyer or seller, we're not really sure that we're serious about the deal. How do we know that we're serious? We have a Kinyon, we have Edom. Here we don't have to have any question that he's serious. Of course he's serious. He has 25% penalty on the line. So here, even the Ravid will agree that Edom are not required. In the opinions that do hold that for Kinyan Chalipin you need to have Edom, there are different degrees. Some Paiskim say that even though normally you have to have two kosher edim, here posel edim would be fine. Even one aid may be good enough. Others want to differentiate if I let the other party keep the item that we're using chalipin with, then you don't need to have edim. Different levels of what kind of edim. So the Gemara says, the lesle suda. And here too, there's a very big machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say, the lesle suda, I don't have that, he doesn't have a suda, and therefore he can't do chalipim, and we can't use a borrowed suda, because to make effective chalipin, you have to use something that you yourself own. Others say that a borrowed item can be used to make chalipim. Just here, there's nobody around to borrow anything from. Ask the Gemara, v'nikne nile agav karka. Fine. We can't do kinya chalipin. We'd love to do it. We don't have the equipment, so to speak, to do it. But why can't we make a kinyan agav, that I own property, and I'm selling you the property and the money that's on the property, kinyan agav? Answers the Gemara, the less le karka, that the person doesn't have any property to do kinyan agav. So Mefarshim asks, if he doesn't have any property, so how does he have miser? From where did the miser grow? So I saw two answers. One answer is that he's an oris, he's a sharecropper. So a sharecropper is obligated to give miser, but he doesn't own the property. Another terrace that I saw is that he had property, and from the property this produce grew. But now when he's come to do the hafreshes miser, by now he's already sold the property, and Hitaka doesn't have any property. So then the Mefarshim asks, how can we say he doesn't have property? Number one, everybody has Dalar Amos and Etz Yisrael. Every Jew has Dalar Amos and Etz Yisrael. So that they answer, everybody has Dalar Amos and Etz Yisrael, but we don't know where your Dalar Amos is. Could I say that I know my Dalar Amos is in Yerushalayim or somewhere else? So karka that cannot be identified is not considered that I own karka. But then the Mefarshim ask that, and specifically it seems that in those days it was very common that everybody had owned a makam kvura, a cemetery plot. So he owns karka. How can we say a Jew doesn't have karka? He has a cemetery plot. So the Mefarshim explained that a cemetery plot is not considered karka that you can do a kinyan agav. Why? Because property, if I have a piece of property that I could sell, I could do whatever I want on that piece of property, that is considered a piece of property you can do kinyan agav. A cemetery plot, you can't go and build a house on your cemetery plot. Cemetery plot is used for burial. So since it's a limited use, it's only considered a schus to use that area, but it's not considered real ownership that you should be able to be considered the owner of that property. Ask the Gemara, how can we say he doesn't have property? For Amid Begoyra Ketani, he's standing in the warehouse. Isn't this his warehouse? So obviously he does have karka. Answers the Gemara, it's referring to a warehouse that he's not the owner of that warehouse. Ask the Gemara, let's think about this situation. That we have a Mishnah that we began with, and the way we're explaining the Mishnah is the person doesn't have any clothes, because otherwise he could do a kinyan chalipin. He doesn't own any property, because otherwise he could do a kinyan agav. So we're going to learn a whole Mishnah for that very unlikely situation. The less like klum can't be elishmami no. It must be that aimat be a nikna b'chalipin. He does have clothing, and he could do kinyan chalipin. But like what we started to share with today, you can't affect the kinyan on coins through chalipin shmami no. And now we have a very big machlokes rishonim. So we have actually, in these last two shiurim, identified two very distinct subjects. Yesterday we spoke about matbeya nasa chalipim. Could a coin be used to affect the chalipim? And today we spoke about a different subject. Can you buy coins through chalipim? And now we've proven from the Mishnah Masechta Maaseh Sheni, you can't buy coins with chalipim. Says Tosfos, that if you can't buy coins with chalipim, certainly, you can't use coins to affect chalipin. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh has absolutely, the Gemara has proven, that you can't buy coins with chalipin. He says that's a different subject from the issue if you could use coins for chalipim. And even though we've proven that you can't buy coins with chalipim, you still maybe could use coins to affect chalipim. Says the Gemara of Afra, Papa Hadabay. Says the Papa, actually the Papa ultimately agreed that you can't use chalipim to buy coins. Because the Gemara says the following episode. Where Papa had a tremendous amount of money left in Bei Chuzoi, in someone's home. Now he had an issue. He wanted to get his money, but there was a problem. Anybody who would come to pick up the money, the people who were watching the money would never give it to them. Because they would be concerned that something would happen to that money. And by the time the person got back to Rav Papa, if the money was, something happened, they would be held responsible. So what Rav Shmuel, who was Rav Papa's shliach, do? Aknina l'Rav Shmuel ba'acha, Rav Papa did a kinyan agav on agav asifa de besa, on the threshold of his home, and like that Rav Shmuel became the owner of the money, and the people who were watching the money had no problem now to give him the money. Ki asa, so now when Rav Shmuel arrived, nafik la'apei atavach, Rav Papa went out to greet him till Tavach. Why did he go out to greet him? So the simple pshat that the Rishonim give is because he was very happy that he brought him his money. So he wanted to greet him because he's delivering his money. Another pshat that I saw in the Sharm Tzion of Halacha, beautiful pshat. It's very relevant. He says like this. Rav Shmuel came up with this chap that you could do a kinyan agav. Rav Papa wanted to show everybody that his student was so smart and came up with this gewaldige approach. So he went out to greet him. When your Talmud does something right, you're supposed to compliment him. And that was the way he was offering him a compliment. The Mefarshim also used this Gemara to teach us certain halachas in Kinyan Agav. Number one, they say when we use a Kinyan Agav, we have to identify which piece of earth, which piece of karka we're using for the kinyan agav. Because look what the Gemara says here. He identified the piece of the threshold of the home. He didn't just say, I'm doing kinyan agav on karka that I own. Another point that the Mefarshim make is that, as we've learned, kinyan agav is agav karka. The question is, what is considered karka? Certainly the ground is considered karka. But what happens if we start off with something that was detached from the ground, and then we attach it to the ground? Is that considered karka or not? And they use this Gemara as a raya that it is considered karka, because the threshold was not something, you take a metal threshold or a stone threshold and you put it on the ground, and yet it's considered karka to affect kinyan agav. Says the Gemara, v'ken amar ula eimat be'enasa chalipin, v'ken amar v'asi eimat be'enasa chalipin, v'ken amar v'chan amar b'yoycheron eimat be'enasa chalipin. This is actually right, the Tosfos pshat, that these two sugyas are connected. Eisvei rav abba l'ula, harei shayu chamor v'parayalad, toy v'nois v'shuk. Somebody's standing in the marketplace, and he asks workers who come to him and say, we want our wages. And he doesn't have any money on him. V'am l'shulchani, Shulchani was the money changer. It was their version of the bank. He says to the money changer, I need some money. Tainly b'dinah mos. Could you please give me a dinah mos? V'fanasim. So I could pay them their wages. V'ni'el chayof a dinah v'trisis m'mar sheyesh l'v'beisi. And I'll pay you back a dinner plus a trisis for money that I have in my house. So halacha is, im yesh lo mos, if he has money at home, such a transaction as mutter. V'mlav, osur. Ask the Gemara, v'isak adaitach, eimat be'enas ha'chalipin. If we're saying that you can't do a kinyan chalipin, havlei avah. So what is happening here? The bank is lending me money, and now I owe the bank money. And if I'm going to pay back the bank more than I received, that's a classical case of ribbis. And it should be osur. It must be that how am I coining the money with a chalipin? So it's not a situation of a havah, it's a situation of I'm buying money and I'm of mekech v'memka. Ishtik. So he remained silent. We seem to have a raya that matbei nasa chalipin. Amalei, demi idi v'idi b'pruta shanu. We're not talking about money, we're talking about slugs, metal discs, or it doesn't have to be metal, it could be silver, it could be gold. The rekalai tiva. And therefore, since they're not coins, idi v'idi perehava, and it remains a situation of business. But word Matthias, we couldn't do it because you can't do Kenyan Chalipin with Matthias. Amalei in. He said, you know, your pshat is right. And Dekanami, and I'll prove to you that we're not talking about money. We're just talking about disc, metal discs. The Tani, let's read the words of the Braisa. Yofa Dona Vitrisis. Vloy Tani did a Yofa Vitrisis. So it's saying that these metal discs were worth the same value as a dinner, but it wasn't actually a dinner. Shmamina. Rav Ashi Omer, Loyalim B'damim Prutus. We are speaking about money. However, he teaches us a very big chiddush. Kivan de Islay, since I, again, let's get back to the story, where he didn't have money to pay his workers here in the Shuk. And he went to the bank, to the Shukhani, to borrow money. And now he's paying back the bank more than he received. That the halacha is, and we have to work with this halacha, that even though ribbis is asur, here, since I have the money to pay back right now, there is no issue of ribbis. Which at first glance is a tremendous chiddush, which we're going to discuss later on when we learn Perek Ezu Neshech. But at first glance, what the Gemara is teaching us is that even though interest is asur, when is interest asur? Only if I don't have the ability to, I don't have the actual funds now. But let's say I borrow money from you. But I have the money, I just don't have it handy. I have it at home, I have it in the bank. Pash pshat in the Gemara is I could pay ribbis, which is almost impossible to understand. It's almost impossible to understand. We just diminished the whole issur of ribbis, which we're going to learn is a very serious issur. So the Rishayim say beautiful pshat. The truth of the matter, the Rishayim say, we need to think about this. When we borrow money from a bank, it's not really borrowing. Banks are in the business of selling money. Banks don't lend money, they sell money. So the issur of ribbis is only by a halvah, not by a sale. Just what? The Torah, if I borrow money from the bank, it doesn't look like I'm buying it. It looks like I'm borrowing. So Chazal said that even though it's a bank, it's a shulchani, whose business is to sell money, it's so similar to halvah, I can't pay back more than I borrowed. However, if I have the funds at home to pay for it, so we have two issues combined here. Number one, it's a bank. Number two, I have the funds, so it's clearly a situation of Mekka Chememker, and then there's no issur ribbis. So what we just learned is that this heter that the Gemara is teaching us, that if you have the funds, there is no issur ribbis, is only when you're borrowing from a bank. Not if you're borrowing from a regular person. That means if I borrow money from you, you're not a bank, then it doesn't make a difference if I have, let's say, I have Baruch Hashem money, but I'm in the street, I don't have any money on me, and I borrow from you, there I'm not allowed to pay you back more, because you're not a bank. Only by a shulchani, by a bank, plus the fact that I have the money available to me, then I could pay back. Then I could give you extra, more than I took. Although, there is a machloikis, when the Gemara says here that I have the funds at home, that's enough, what does that mean? Does that mean that I have the entire funds? That means if I borrowed from you $100, not from you, from a bank, I could pay it back, provided that I have the whole $100 at home? Or even if I have some of the money, I have $50 at home, that's already enough of a heter that since I'm borrowing from a bank and I have some of the money available already, that's not considered a situation of ribbis. Tashma, a Mishnah Masechet Kedushin. Kol Anas Dam Ba'achar. If anything that, and as the Gemara seems to say, anything that could be used to pay, which is money, Chalipin is an effective kinyan, says the Gemara. How do we define? It seems to be talking about coins. So don't we have a raya, the shmamino matbeya nasa chalipin? This is the way to understand. Anything that could be used to evaluate, anything that you could assess through money, kivin shezochazeh neschayiv zeh b'chalipim. So it doesn't mean money, it means an item. Items can be used for chalipim, says the Gemara Hachadam Mestabra. And that's what makes sense to say is pshat in that Mishnah. Because let's continue learning the Mishnah. Many times say, for what is the situation? Ketzad. Hechlev shor b'paro. I have a shor. You have a parah. A chama b'shmar. So we're not talking about money, but talking about animals. Shma mina, that it's animals that you could do a kinyan chalipin, not matbeis. Ask the Gemara, l'may the selagadat the mekara. Ask the Gemara, what was our havamina that we're referring to money? Isn't the example that the Mishnah itself uses the best proof that we're not talking about coins? My Kate said, how can we ever even have a havamina that the Mishnah is talking about coins? Says the Gemara Hachikama. This way to understand the Mishnah. Or pay remami avdi chalipin. First the Mishnah says that coins can be used for chalipin. Then the Mishnah starts with another din. It's like chasur mechsra. It's not there, but to be understood. That payris, items, can be used to make chalipim, and the Mishnah gives us an example. Ketzad, hachkama. Or payru nami, my ketzad, hachkama. Or payru nami avdik chalipim. You can use payris to affect chalipim. What does that mean? Ketzad, hechlev shah b'para, achar mar b'shar. Ask the Gemara, this explanation would be understandable according to Rav Sheshes' opinion, Dom and Peri of the Chalipim, that all items can be used for Chalipim. Ella Rav Nachman, but according to the opinion of Rav Nachman, Dom and Keli in, only a Keli can be used to affect Chalipim. Abel Peri, Loy of the Chalipim, you can't use Peris for Chalipim. How do we understand the Mishnah? My Ketzad, answers the Gemara, Hachikama, Yesh Dom Shem Chalipim. There are times that money can be used for chalipim. What is the example? Ketzad. Hechlev, demei shor b'para, or demei chama b'shor. Which means like this. I sell, this way Rashi explains the Gemara. The situation is as follows. I sell you an axe for $100. And I do a regular kinyan mashiach on the axe. And I owe you now $100. Now, you say to me, you know, you owe me $100. Instead of giving me $100, you know, you have a cow. Give me the cow, which is worth $100, and that would be in lieu of the $100 cash you owe me. So at that point, when we entered that agreement, even though you didn't give me anything, and I didn't give you anything, you become the owner of the cow. And neither of us can back out anymore. Because that is considered a kinyan chalipa. Ask the Gemara, my time to Rav Nachman, why does Rav Nachman hold that this would be an effective chalipim? Says the Gemara, and this we'll discuss a lot more in tomorrow's year. As we have been discussing from the beginning of the parak, Chazal said, in order to make a kinyan effective, we have to, in order to make a transaction effective, we have to have a kinyan. Which means, and I always say this, according to Chazal, we'll see if it's Midrash or Midrabanan, but certainly, just giving you money doesn't make the item mine. So I come, and I pay you up in full, it's meaningless. Now the question is that Midrash or Midrabanan? So Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, it's only Midrabanan. Midrash, Mos Koinus. There is no reason that that should not be. If I pay you, shouldn't that be a valuable kinyan? Or Meima Omru Mashiach Koinah. So why did Chazal say that for me to become the owner of something, I have to do Mashiach, I have to do Hagdah? Why isn't paying better? Gzeir Shem Yom Loi Nisv Chiticha by Leah. Which means as follows. If I buy something from you, let's use the Gemara's example. Let's say I buy from you a bushel of grain, and I pay you. And now, because I pay you, it becomes mine. And now, chas v'shalom, a fire breaks out in your home. You won't have any incentive to save that grain. It's not yours, it's mine. So therefore, Chazal said, even if the customer paid, it's still yours. And if something happens to that grain, you the seller, are gonna take the loss. Because he didn't take it yet, he didn't do Mashiach. And therefore, Chazal said, that the only way a kinyan should be effective is with Mashiach, to avoid this concern. There's another way of explaining it, is that if you still own it, because I didn't do Mashiach, you may want to back out of the deal if the price of grain goes up. And because you want to back out of the deal, because the price of grain went up, you'll save the grain. If you don't want to, otherwise, you won't save the grain, and I'll take the loss. So says the Gemara, That's a derabbanan that could concern. Midraisa paying for it would be enough. Umus the shchicha goes by rabbanon. Nuscha the loy shchicha la goes by rabbanon. It's only in a normal business transaction where Chazal said mashiach is required. Here, the situation that I described, I buy your donkey, and then you decide to take my cow, is a mitzvah l'shchicha, and their payment is enough, and that's why you become the owner. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. That's the case that the Mishnah is referring to. Ask the Gemara, Ulrei Shlokish, Dam Mashicha Mefreshes Min HaTorah, according to Rav Shlokish, that says, the Mashiach is what the Torah requires. It's not just the Rabbanon. He nocha, hanicha, isav l'krev sheshes. He could explain that Mishnah if he follows the Mishnah, the opinion of Rav Sheshes, metas l'krev sheshes. So we'll explain, like Rav Sheshes' opinion is, that Paris can be used to make a kinyan, and the case of Chamor v'paro is where Paris are being used for chalipim. Eli isav l'krev Nachman. However, if Rav Shlokish holds like Rav Nachman, Dharma, that he, Rav Nachman is of the opinion, Peiriloi of the Chalipin. And Mateya, Mos itself, is not effective Kenyan, even Medaraisa, under any circumstances. Heichim Taras Law, how would he explain that Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Akarcha Krav Shesh Taras Law. We have to say the Rish Lakish agrees with Rav Sheshes, not with Rav Nachman, that to affect the Chalipin, we don't need a Keli, even a Chamor, or Paro, or any Peiri could affect a Chalipin. Actually, from here we're learning that if you make a kinyan, then you become the owner. That means, if I come to a store, let's think the situation together. I come to a store and I buy an item. So what we're learning halach lemaisa is actually just paying for the item doesn't make it mine. According to Rav Shlokish midaraisa, according to Rav Yochanan midarabanan, and that's a mitzvah de shchicha. But let's say I make a kinyan. Let's think about it. I come to a store and I buy this, whatever it's called. I come to a store and I buy it, and I make a kinyan hagbah, a kinyan mashicha. Now it's mine. And now I leave it with the store to deliver it to me. And a fire breaks out in the store, or something happens in the store. There's a geneva, there's a break it into the store. What is the din? Is it mine, and it's my loss? It's not the storekeeper's. There was a kinyan. So what's the din? So the Pais could say that even if I made a kinyan, if a part of the deal in my buying the item, I agree to buy this item from you with the condition that you will deliver it to me, you are Shem HaSachar. And a Shem HaSachar is Chayef Gneva Vaveda. So if there was a fire, Chas V'Shalom, you would indeed be exempt, because the Shem HaSachar is part of Oynes. If there was a break-in, it's Gneva Vaveda, and the Shem HaSachar is Chayef Gneva Vaveda. Another Shaila, common Shaila, is now you had somebody deliver it to my home, and I'm not home. So what does the person who delivers it do? He leaves it on the porch, he leaves it by the door, and now it gets stolen. So we just said that you're a Shem HaSachar, and you're chayiv for Gneva Aveda until I actually take delivery. So the only thing that a storekeeper should do, that's delivering things to people's houses, even if the person did a kinyan, the only way he could avoid being held responsible if something happens to it, if he left it by the door and somebody Chas V'Shalom stole it, is to clearly stipulate with the customer that delivery means that I deliver it to your house, and if you're not there, I'm leaving it at the door, and you're responsible from that point, and I agree to that. Or, the simpler thing is, not to leave it at the door. Continues the Gemara. Tanan, kar metavlin kana zezeh. Or metavlin can be used to affect the kinyan one on the other. Vamrei shlokish, vafila kis mali maz, the kiss mali maz. So we see that we could do chalipin with money. Answers the Gemara, Tergmer of Achaber, dinner ankav ingra. We're not talking about money that's out in the circulation, that's called money. Because as we've been learning, ematbe and nasa chalipin. You can't use coins to affect chalipin. It's ankav ingra. What is ankra vingra? Echad shepsol malchus. One is that the government said that this money should no longer be used. Ve'echad shepasla medina, that the money is not being used in this country, but it's usable in other countries. And v'tzricha. And we have to explain that both of these types of monies are not considered money, and therefore they could affect chalipin. Di'ash min psalom malchus mishum deloy sagi klal. If the government said don't use it, that I can understand it's not considered money. Av apostles of Medina, if it's only taken out of circulation in one particular country. The saglib of Medina Achrita, in this country can't be used, but in another country can be used. Eimakati mebeyuhu, maybe it should still be considered money. Veimatei nasach niktim b'chalipin. V'yashmin apostles of Medina, if I said that money that's taken out of circulation in one country, mishum desloi saglib b'tzina, v'loi b'fresia. Money that's taken out of circulation, an entire country, you won't find anybody using. Avo, apostles of Malchus, if it was only became disqualified by the government, the Sagala Bitsina, people won't publicly use such money, but privately they will still use money. It should still be in the category Mateya, they might be a nikna b'chalipim. That's why Tzricha, that both of these situations, whether it's disqualified in a specific country, or whether it became disqualified by the government, are not considered coins and cannot affect chalipim. Just to end the shir, before we said that we had a machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, Dvat Torah Moaz Koinis. So I saw two beautiful pshatim al pi drush in these words, Dvat Torah Moaz Koinis. One pshat is as follows. Dvat Torah Moaz Koinis, Division Tzereba says this pshat. How is a person going to be successful in learning? What is the way for a person to become successful in learning? What should you use as a model? Says the Gemara Dvat Torah. You know how you're going to be successful in learning? Moaz Koinis. Look how you work. Look what a person who's a successful businessman, how does a person become a successful businessman? He works hard, he puts in a lot of energy, he thinks about his business all the time. That should be the model for Dvat Torah. Dvat Torah, you want to know how to learn? You want to know how to be successful in your learning? Moaz Koinis. Take your example from the businessman. That's one pshat. Another pshat is just the opposite. Dvat Torah, if somebody spends time learning, he puts his energy, he puts time into learning Divrei Torah, Moaz Koinis. The bracha that we'll have is that not only will he be successful in learning, but he'll also have a bracha in Gashmias, he'll have bracha that I have panosa. Dvat Torah Moaz Koinis. And actually it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki b'tzeh la chochma, b'tzeh la kesef. The person that spends time learning chochma, chochma sa Torah, will be zoicha to b'tzeh la kesef, to have yeshuas and Gashmias.